Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to share the first quarter report for 2016 with us. We are speaking to you from a very spring-like Stockholm, and we hope that this presentation will be equally spring-like. And as a matter of fact, given the pretty harsh winter we've had, with oil prices hitting the lowest we've seen for more than 10 years, we are very happy to show that our project in Oman remains quite robust, with a very healthy EBITDA of $10 million for the quarter. And that actually in an oil price environment that was way below $40 a barrel on average. So, we are pleased to say that production continues to increase. We are up 11% for the quarter compared to the fourth quarter 2015. Revenue down, EBITDA down, and this, of course, is all due to the oil price falling. So we do report a small loss of $2 million. However, we are quite pleased that it's not that we can show that it's not more of a loss given the oil price environment and that the cash flow remains positive and healthy. Still, with a very strong balance sheet of $45 million cash in bank, we dropped about 11% from the last quarter, and this is attributable really to our investments in Muscat in Oman, where we have dug into the cash a little bit to meet the first quarter investments. We would expect this to even out over the year, and we do not expect to have to chip in to cover the investments in Oman. We proposed a dividend, 1 crown per share, to be voted on by the AGM in 2 weeks' time. And operationally, 9 wells were completed on Blocks 3 and 4, resulting in at least one new discovery in the Shahad area, and of course, assisting in the production increase that we saw compared to Q4  2015. If we turn pages, we can again see that Oman remains by far our core area, with the French licenses still being on the back burner, and Lithuania showing signs of life, still producing, and actually still on almost neutral cash flow, and with exploration potential maturing a little bit, both in the Rasna license and possibly also in the main producing license in Qashqai. The Oman production increase follows the guidance we have given. Year-on-year, we expect production to continue to increase. However, there will be monthly fluctuations. And as you can see, we reached our highest production number in January, where we were way above 12,000, came down a little bit in February, and March, we came below 12,000, and that's partly because we had a partial shutdown of the Farha South field for planned maintenance work, which affected the production negatively, of course. Guidance remains that we expect to see year-on-year production increase with monthly fluctuations, and we should point out that we expect to see April production affected by the Saiwan maintenance and May production to be affected by maintenance of the Shahad field in May. Cash flow remains positive, and here I would like Morgan to take the floor and explain in more detail how our cash flow is evolving, what are the main triggers behind it, and how we plan to use the money. Morgan, please.
Thank you, Magnus, and good morning to you all. We'll start with reiterating what we've been saying for quite some time now, that the Blocks 3 and 4 investments for 2016 will be closely monitored and subject to ongoing revisions, mainly due to the changes in the oil price. And the target is clearly to fund the year's investment on Blocks 3 and 4 primarily from cash flows from operations. In the first quarter, though, we saw that cash flow from operations amounted to $10 million, where investments in oil and gas amounted to $15 million. I'll come back to that, but the Target is still that the investments will be covered by cash flow from operations for the full year. In Lithuania, we expect the operations there to be fully financed from the oil production and from available cash in the associated Lithuanian companies. Looking at production on the next slide, we can see that production, as Magnus said earlier, picked up 11% quarter-on-quarter if you take first quarter production and compare it to fourth quarter production. If you compare it with the first quarter a year ago, we're actually up 40%. So a continued production increase for all these quarters that you can see. And if you look at the yearly graph to the left, you can see even more impressive development. This is obviously the backbone of all of our finances that we'll come into on the following slides. Looking at revenues, the first quarter 16 revenues are down 24% compared to fourth quarter. This is due to the decline in oil prices. We can see that we've been trending downwards along with the falling oil prices. We have offset this development with the production increase that we've just seen. Looking at the sold barrels, we can see that we sold 531,000 barrels for the first quarter. We're still below the second and third quarter 2015 sales volumes. We're still in an underlift position. This has obviously been with a good timing given the market conditions. But we have, as per end of March 2016, an underlift position of 63,000 barrels. Looking at the oil price development, we can see the falling trend of 2015. It was a sharp decline in the first quarter 2016. We should remember that our price comes with a two-month lag to the spot prices. So the absolute low was in January, and those prices affected us in March. But it's a 25% reduction in oil prices, which obviously affects our revenues and our results all the way through. Moving over to EBITDA, we've been actually able to maintain the EBITDA levels for the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter. This is thanks to reduction in costs. We are still around 50% EBITDA level. We make $10 million EBITDA on the first quarter compared to $13 million for the fourth quarter. The trending decline here is obviously related to the lower oil prices. Looking at the expenditures costs on the following slide, we are now in single-digit numbers for the first quarter, $9 million in total, compared to all the quarters for 2015 where we were higher. You can see that the admin expenditures, they are very stable. It's more moving for the operating expenditures. We expect the operating expenditures to be lower in comparison to operating expenditures 2015. And if we move over to next slide and look at the per barrel development, we can see that the OPEX per barrel is $7.3 per barrel compared to double-digit numbers for all of the quarters in 2015. They were between $10 to $14 per barrel. We expect that the OPEX per barrel will be lower compared to 2015 numbers, and OPEX per barrel is decreasing with higher production. This is due to large part of the OPEX is fixed. So our net back, which is an important number, is still double digit, $11.2 per barrel for the first quarter 2016. Moving over to net result, we made a loss of $2 million for the first quarter compared to $3 million for the fourth quarter. And obviously this is due to the, I should say, despite the increased production and this, despite the decrease in OPEX, lower oil prices has led to the negative result for the first quarter 2016. Our balance sheet on the next slide remains very robust, as Magnus pointed out earlier. $45 million in net cash, total assets of $242 million, and equity of $216 million. Book value, I should say, $216 million. So no long-term interest-bearing liabilities and a very robust balance sheet indeed. A dividend of 1 crown per share, which is equal to around 35 million Swedish kroners, is proposed for the AGM. And a large part of our cash is being held in U.S. dollars. Looking at oil and gas investments, we should point out that all of our investments goes into Blocks 3 and 4 onshore Oman. They account for more than 99% of investments. First quarter investments are higher compared to fourth quarter 2015, $15 million compared to $7 million. It was a similar effect for the first quarter 2015 compared to the fourth quarter of 2014. Again, we do expect that oil and gas investments will be funded. The target is to fund them by operating cash flows for 2016. And of these oil and gas investments, most of the funds are going into drilling wells, and there were 9 wells drilled in the first quarter 2016, all in the Shahad area. We had a successful near-field exploration well drilled in the northern extension of the Shahad area, and that has been put in production. We have a total of 5 rigs in operations, of which one of them is a workover rig. So in this environment, we've been able to maintain the investment program on Block 3 and 4. And with that, I hand over to Magnus.
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you for some excellent numbers. What I would like to dwell a little bit upon is the long-term strategy and outlook for our core project in onshore Oman Blocks 3 and 4. It's now been 3.5 years since we were granted the production license over the area. And in that time, of course, we have more than doubled production compared to where we were at in early 2013. But we've also continued an elaborate geological exercise of the blocks and trying to understand how the petroleum system works and how we can best expand both production and reserves. A key to understanding the blocks, of course, is the, as we have mentioned before, the 3D seismic. And we have now completed collecting 3D seismic data over virtually the entire central part of the blocks, starting in the north central part of Block 3 and going all the way down to the southeastern edges of Block 4. The producing areas are focused on the Farah South field in Block 3, the Shahad and the Sawan East fields in Block 4. But as we've come to learn more about the distribution of the oil and where the oil can be produced from, we realize that the petroleum system, of course, is connected. And whereas the reservoirs are discrete, not connected, it's not one big field. It is something looking like one petroleum system. So turning to the stratigraphic summary, have discovered oil all the way from the Barik, starting at around 1,200 to 1,400 meters, all the way down to the Khufai, going below the 2,200, 2,400 meters depth. The Farah trend, the Farah South Field, is primarily a Barik producer, whereas the Shahad and Khufai and Shahad and Zawan fields come from the carbonates of the Bua and the Khufai. However, the Barik exists above the Bua and the Khufai, and the Bua and Khufai exist below the Barik. And the exercise we are trying to do is to continue mapping the fields and see how they interact and to define new prospects throughout that area. Remember that today we have P2 reserves of 18 million barrels with a 3P number of 27 million barrels. And we have increased continually more reserves, found more oil than we have produced. Looking at the development of reserves, we've seen two clear trends. And that is that we are increasing the P1 reserves, the core reserves from our Farah field, and now also from the Shahad field. And we're also increasing the 3P number, the field with the number with the most potential. And the exercise, of course, is very much geared at moving the 3P number into the 2P category and further into the 1P category, while finding more prospects, drilling those, and finding more 3P reserves to then be able to mature that further on. And if we look at the Farah South field, we know now that it produces from the Barik level. It consists of a number of discrete fault blocks. About 20 are in production today. As mapping have continued, we have somewhere between 6 to 10 fault blocks that are still prospective and that we haven't drilled yet. And as our understanding of how the side seal functions, we believe we can find even more prospects that can eventually be matured into fields. And we would, of course, hope to see additional drilling being made also in the Farah South field to increase both production and reserves. The drawback with Farah is that there is no gas at all in the oil. Production levels are reasonably small, although they are well supported and very predictable from the water injection program. The carbonates of the Shahad oil field are more prolific. We get higher flow rates from the beginning. And the main event of the last couple of quarters has been to bring both Bua and Khufai level carbonates into production. So our aim in Shahad is really twofold, both finding more prospects with closure in Bua and preferably also in Khufai, and the yellow dots outlined here show the ongoing mapping of Khufai and Bua prospects. But we are also, of course, aiming at bringing maybe the Khufai into production below producing Bua fields, primarily the green stuff here, and for that matter also looking at the Bua in areas where the Khufai is producing. This is an ongoing exercise. As we understand more the depositional environment, how the oil came to be reservoired, where it is reservoired, and how it interacts with what we believe to be a number of oil generations, some now having degenerated to heavy oil, some being light and easily movable oil. It's an ongoing puzzle, but we've learned a lot over those 3.5 years that we had the production license here, and the work is by no means completed. We're starting to look at the southeastern part of Block 4. We're starting to look at the other play concepts. For example, the sandstones of the Masira Bay, which underlies a lot of the southeastern part of the block, where we also have leads and prospects being matured. So all in all, we see a strong growth potential in Blocks 3 and 4 as we understand more and more how the petroleum system works and we understand the trapping mechanisms. This is an ongoing process, and as we continue to map the areas that are now covered by 3D seismic, we expect to see both production and reserves continue to grow. With that, turning to our conclusion, we want to remind you that we are still cash flow positive, also in an oil price environment below $40 per barrel. Obviously, we are a lot healthier at the current $45. We continue to see production increase. We expect it to continue to increase for 2016 with monthly fluctuations and with maintenance work being carried out both in April and May. We see continued success in the near field exploration. We see leads and prospects matured within the producing areas, below and above the producing fields, and around the producing fields. And we also see leads and prospects maturing in the far field area along the main northwest-southeast trend along the main 3D seismic areas. And this is work that will continue throughout the year. On that note, we'd like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you will enter a queue. After you are announced, please ask your question. And it is 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. And we have a question from the line of Carl Frederick from ABG. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to learn a bit more about your assumptions for OpEx per barrel going forward. You said it's going to be below the 2015 level. Do you expect it to be stabilized at the Q1 level or lower or in the range between?
We would like to say that the guidance is that we believe that OpEx per barrel will be on average lower than 2015 levels, not really indicating that we will maintain the low levels of the first quarter, but really be on average lower than the 2015 levels. That's the guidance we've provided.
Okay, thank you.
And as another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. And we have a question from the line of Theodor Nilsson from Swedbank. Please go ahead, Theodor, your line is open. Theodor Nilsson?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. One question on the CapEx profile for the year. Do you assume that, or should we assume that the CapEx for 2016 is pretty front-end loaded, i.e. that CapEx on average for the next three quarters will be lower than if in first quarter? Or how should we think about that profile for the year?
Yes, I think that could well be a good assumption, given that the development of the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter the previous year was similar. I think that's not a bad assumption. So, for the first quarter, we did not the operating cash flow did not finance the investments. But as we think that is the case going forward for the full 2016, I think that's a it seems front-loaded. It was front-loaded in 2015, and it's a good assumption to make for the 2016. But the overall guidance and the most important guidance is obviously that we believe that our target is that the investments will be fully funded by cash flow from operations for the full year.
Okay, understood. And one question on production. Could you give any like kind of indication of what kind of production level you expect after the ongoing maintenance?
We would expect to revert to the January, February numbers in the first go, and then we would continue to expect production to keep increasing for the year, but with monthly fluctuations also going forward.
Okay, and what should we assume for like exit rate production for the year?
We've been rather careful with giving any numbers, so I think we leave it with just saying that we expect production to continue to increase.
Okay, that's right. That's all from me. Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Johan Widmark from Erik Penser Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, Morgan and Magnus. Thank you. My question has been answered. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good question. Thank you.
All right. And as there are no further questions registered at this time, I'll hand the call back to you, speakers.
Well, in that case, let's turn to the last slide and invite you for the next telephone session when we hope to present the report for the second quarter, which will be from a summary Stockholm on the 16th of August this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.